welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Dear listening friend, have you noticed how difficult it is to define the religion of Jesus Christ in just a few words? There are just so many sides to it. It's like a diamond with many facets of beauty and brilliance. And it must be viewed from every direction to see its worth. It is a perfect plan for man's redemption. It is the way God has designed to reconcile man unto himself. It even contains the teaching whereby man can live at peace with his fellow man. It is a pattern for life as well as a preparation course for eternity. What else can make one fit for the company of angels and the heavenly host than the religion of Jesus Christ? Now, in view of eternity and the glory of heaven, let us know that the Lord does not thrust one into the eternal state of heaven for which he is not fitted. Probably some, seeing their distaste for the things of God in this life, would be miserable if they were allowed even to go to heaven. Jesus teaches that heaven is a prepared place, John chapter 14, and it is for a prepared people. In the Sermon on the Mount, which is the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus mentioned the characteristics of those who would be citizens in that kingdom. This sermon is a presentation of the advance beyond the imperfect concepts and abilities of Judaism and heathenism and paganism. It goes beyond just the actions of man. It even regulates his motives that spring from the inward man. It recognizes that man is spirit as well as body. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now these illustrations of the Christian dispensation are given here under similar but somewhat different circumstances. We see one being smitten. We see one being sued at law. We see one being compelled to go a mile against his will. Being smitten is to suffer indignity and reproach. But rather than retaliate and seek revenge, it is better to suffer for it. To be sued is to have taken from you your possessions forcefully, yet legally. But we must be willing to part with such things rather than to bring shame and reproach on that for which we stand. And being compelled to go a mile refers to a practice imposed upon Jewish people by the Romans that they had borrowed from the Persians. It was the conscript of the private citizen into government service. It was a compulsory service. If one of authority forced you into his service to accommodate him for a while, Jesus said, be willing to do that and to do more than what was required. We really deserve no commendation for being willing to give only the barest requirements. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. The distinctive Christian quality is to hold it a vice not to do more than is required. The get-by attitude, as we might speak of it, this do as little as we can, that is not the attitude that pleases God. We can make some profitable applications of what we could call a second-mile religion. Consider the periods of worship. You know, some ask, do I have to attend Sunday evening worship? Do I have to be present at midweek Bible study? Now, why would one who loves the Lord and one who is hungry for His Word even ask such a thing? I did not know a Christian did not want to worship God, did you? Hebrews 10:25 is perceived backwards by some. We are to assemble for exhortation, not just exhort each other to assemble. When the matter of finances and monetary support of the cause of Christ is considered, attitude is as important as the amount given. We are to give cheerfully, with joy, not grudgingly, or because we feel that we just have to. Oh yes, we have to. But those who love the Lord give because they get to. The Macedonians gave first themselves. Their attitude was to give the heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And when that is done, friend, the amount will usually take care of itself. They gave beyond what was expected. They practiced a second-mile religion. Mankind can sin positively and negatively. That is, we can sin by doing what we ought not do, sins of commission. Or we can sin by failing to do what we ought to do, sins of omission. Now, we might not find it so difficult to restrain ourselves from doing what we believe will damn us to hell. But what of the good things that ought to be done? James 4 and verse 17 teaches, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Are we good simply because we're not bad? In that case, even an inanimate object might be classified as good. You know, some measure their Christianity in terms of the evil things that they do not do. They do not kill, they do not lie, they do not cheat. Oh yes, this is a part of being a Christian. But this could be said of a statue in the park. Their list of achievements for good are zero. There are the thou shalt not passages, to be sure. But there are also the thou shalt passages. Second-mile religion does not just refrain from evil, but it does that which is good. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14, our Lord teaches the condemnation of what is called the one-talent man. Now this one-talent man, if you'll read that, you'll find that he was not condemned because he lost his talent. He was not condemned because he wasted his talent. He was not condemned because he did not double his talents as others had done. He was condemned because he did not do what he could have done. He did not even try. In Matthew chapter 21, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forevermore. And presently the fig tree withered away." Now why did the Lord do that? Friend, the fig tree first bears fruit, then leaves. The presence of leaves indicates the presence of fruit. But this tree, while giving the impression of bearing fruit, only bore leaves. It was not what it should have done and what it should have been. It was not doing what it was designed to do. Some of us may be just that way. And if you'll study the judgment scene of Matthew chapter 25, that passage commends some because of the good that they had done. Yes, there were others that were condemned. And they were not condemned because they were charged with evil, but because of the failure to do the good that they should have done. And though they were sufficient in one area, they lacked sorely in another. They went 1 mile, but not the second. And we must add here that we do not earn our reward, nor can we do enough good to deserve God's blessings. That's not the point. Even so, there are those things that God teaches us to do, and when we obey God, He has promised to give us His blessings. In 1 Kings chapter 20, we read, "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, Thy servant went out into the midst of a battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hath decided it. Now let us take note. A prisoner was taken, and a soldier was assigned to guard him with his very life, but the prisoner escaped. Now, what was the excuse? It says he was busy here and there, maybe even with matters he considered deserving of his attention, but he neglected his primary charge. He was not attendant to his primary duty. And just so, many are very busy in matters today, not all of which are necessarily evil in themselves, but at what are we so busy, friend? If we become too busy, we neglect the more vital elements of life, then we have really become too busy. We are too busy if we cannot practice the second mile religion, doing what we ought, and not just simply refraining from doing what we ought not. We ought to do more than what is even expected. Now, of course, before we can concentrate on the second mile, we have to cover the first mile, don't we? Before we can go the second mile, we have to travel the first one. Before you can do more than you ought to do in the service of God, you must do what you ought to do to enter the service of God. So the first thing of priority in doing as you ought is to obey the gospel of Christ. Believe, repent, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water into Christ for the remission of sins by His authority in His name. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. That's the first mile. And then you have done that, you're in a position to practice second mile religion, a kind of religion that the Lord expects of both me and you. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.